The following audio is from Foundation Life Bible Church. More information about Foundation Life is available at www.foundationlbc.com.
How was everybody's Thanksgiving?
Good.
Filling. Excellent. Filling, definitely. Did not do well on my diet, Conrad, if you're listening. This was a bad week. That's okay. But as we've gone through this book, my prayer has been that we'd have a greater understanding of our identity in Christ. And we see that in chapter 1 to chapter 3. And then if you'll recall in chapter 4, in verse 1, Paul says this. And I pray that this will be true for us. As a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And how rich are we in the Lord Jesus? If you took the challenge to underline what you have in the Lord, you see what a calling God has given you. And so my plan is that I'd like to, and this may take me a little bit of time, it probably won't be next week, but we'll see. But my plan is I'd like to put together a summary of the book of Ephesians and kind of the points that we went through available to you. But I don't think I'll get that done in the next week, but I'll work on that for sure. But I just think that'd be a good tool for us. So let's open in prayer, and then we'll go through chapter 6, 18 through 24. Father, we thank you for your word. It's been a rich study, Lord. And I pray, God, that we've been changed by it. And Lord, we're not finished. Today we have the privilege to look at a few more verses. And so, God, what a privilege it is to hold your words to us in our hands. And so, Father, we would ask you, Lord, that your Spirit would fill us and that your Spirit would teach us. We humbly, Lord, submit to what you have for us in your word, Lord. And we expect today, Lord, to see our soul divided from spirit. God, that you would lay our hearts bare. We thank you for that. And Father, we lift up this family on the south side, Lord. We lift up the Opal family, God. And Father, who just lost, Lord, their two daughters, Lord. And Father, these are just times where we come to you and we say their name, Lord, because we don't know what to pray. But Father, we thank you that your Spirit prays on our behalf. And so, God, we pray that through this tragedy, Lord, this family would be drawn to you. We pray, God, that through just horrible circumstances, God, that your name would be glorified and they would know that you are the God of compassion and the God of all comfort. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 6, and we will finish up today. So 3 points to start out with, 3 points of emphasis. Our first one is, pray in the Spirit, or in God's will, tirelessly. Pray in the Spirit, or in God's will, tirelessly. Number two, pray because you're aware of your enemy. Pray because you're aware of your enemy. And our last point. Pray continually for your brothers and sisters. Pray continually for your brothers and sisters. Okay, so find verse 18 in chapter 6, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. And I'm reading from the NIV. Paul writes this, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love." Okay, so shoot back up to verse 13 for a second. And our command is to put on the full armor of God. The full armor of God. We're to put it on. And the first three pieces, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes of the gospel of peace, were called to continue in. To never take them off. And let's quickly review what each of these are. Just a short summary. So when I wear the belt of truth, my attitude is that Jesus, you have the final say and authority in my life. That's what it means to wear the belt of truth. And the next piece, when I put on the breastplate of righteousness, this is a beautiful reminder of the gospel. See, that I've been clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And because this is true, the call on my life is to pursue righteousness. Or as Paul says, to train in righteousness. On my feet, I wear the shoes of the gospel of peace. And this is a reminder for me to hold fast to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ Jesus. And God promises me the result of peace. Not the world's peace, but a peace that goes beyond my natural mind. A peace that goes beyond human reasoning. Not the peace of the world, but the peace of Christ. So those are the first three. We're to continue in those. The last three, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, are accompanied with a different command. And that command is to take up. Take up is what Paul writes. And taking up the first piece, the shield of faith, is resting in the character and promises of God. And remember, we spoke about how neat it was, because as we think back to our Roman soldiers who each held a shield and almost made this mobile wall, we think of our walk with the Lord. Because sometimes I'm so tired and weary that the Lord, in His grace, uses my brother or sister to lift the shield for me. Their faith carries me. The grace that God has given them carries me. And particularly when I find myself overwhelmed by temptation and by the lies that evil uses to attack me. So I'm to take up the shield of faith. I'm to put on or take up the next piece, the helmet of salvation. And remember what this means, church family. When you wear that helmet, you're reminded of this beautiful truth that you walk in a future hope, in a future glory. Jesus promised he would go and prepare a place for us as his followers. And so this empowers me because this is not my eternal home. My eternal home is with the Lord. So it empowers me to walk in victory. And for 2 weeks, we touched on that. What does that look like? What does that look like? And then we turn to the sword of the Spirit. And remember what comes with the sword. Remember, the sword is the word you hold in your hand. And for me, taking up the sword, it divides truth from lies. It separates what is not of the flesh, what is of the flesh, and what is of the Spirit. And remember, today, as you sit under the Word of God, do not harden your hearts, because the Word is supposed to lay you bare. And not only does it cut me as a believer, but when it's spoken, it cuts non-believers as well. It divides in their heart as well. So church family, how good has this study been? To know the armor that God has given you as his child, that you might do exactly what Paul prays, that we might stand in his mighty strength and power. So we pick up today with one more piece. Look at verse 18 with me. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. We've clearly received Paul's message in verse 10 through 17. God has equipped us with this armor because the truth is we're in a war. We've been engaged in a war against principalities, against dominion, against darkness. And now think about for a moment with me, okay, God's given me this armor. How do I go about putting it on? Interesting question. The commands for us that accompany the armor are to stand firm and to take up. So what are we doing when we put on the armor? We act on faith. And what do? How do we equip ourselves? We take up the arms by praying, right? We put on the armor by praying. We do exactly what verse 18 commands. We pray in the Spirit. So this morning, let's allow the sword, the Word of God, to open us up. Because God has a word for you. He wants to reveal your heart. Are you praying the armor of God? Did you pray the armor of God this past week? Now, I don't normally do this, but I want you to put your bookmark in Ephesians. And I want you to turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. But mark it, because we're going to come back to Ephesians, okay? Okay, Paul also wrote this book, but here's what it says beginning in verse 3. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. So Paul compares you and I as believers to soldiers. And he says, look, there's to be one voice that guides you, the Lord Jesus Christ. And our pursuit is to know our commanding officer. Jesus speaks of this in John 17, verse 3. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. So here's what I take out of this. You and I should be in continual conversation with our Lord. We should be in close relationship with Him. We should know His voice. As He says, my sheep hear my voice. We should know His truth. So that brings us back to our first point of emphasis. I am to pray in the Spirit or in God's will tirelessly. So maybe you have this question. Okay. It says pray in the Spirit. What does that mean? How does Scripture define praying in the Spirit? What does Paul mean in the context of chapter 6, pray in the Spirit? Is he referring to speaking in tongues? Is that what it means? No, it's not what he means. So what? What does he mean? First, it's making sure that I acknowledge God's presence in my current situation. I acknowledge God's presence wherever I am at, whatever the situation. Proverbs 3, 5, 6. Maybe some of us have this memorized. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will do what? Direct your path. Now, did you catch that word after in all your ways? Watch the next word. Acknowledge. Acknowledge who? Acknowledge Him. I am acknowledging the Lord Jesus is with me. And in light of our study from verses 10 to verses 20, I'm putting my faith in the Lord Jesus. And what am I doing? When I put on the armor of God, I'm putting on Jesus. I'm putting on Jesus. That's what putting on the armor is. I'm acknowledging or submitting to His will and His purposes. Praise God. So praying in the Spirit is lining up my prayer with the will of God. That's what it's doing. This means I pray for the eternal. Remember the time we spent talking about what it means to pray for the temporal and pray for the eternal? I pray for the eternal with eyes for the kingdom of God. Practically, I pray the Scriptures. I pray the Scriptures and the character of God. Lord, You promised this to me as Your child. You promised You would fill me with all joy and peace. I'm reminded of You that, Lord. Lord, You promised and You said that if I train my children in Your ways, they will not depart from You when they grow old. You promised me that, Lord. I'm reminding You of that. So the more Scripture I know, the better equipped I am to pray them. And what do you know? This sounds like a great time for a plug, doesn't it? What do we have on the back table? We have these stickers. And what are these stickers for? These stickers for you to write down one Scripture a week to hide the Word of God in your heart. Grab a Sharpie. Rick said you can take 10 if you want. You can take 10 of these this week. But take the Word of God and hide it in your heart. And put it on the mirror in your car. That won't do good for me because I can't drive this week. Ask me about that afterwards if you want to know. And then also put it on the mirror above your sink. Hide this word. Meditate on the Word of God. Okay? That's what we have to do with these. It's so important that we do that. We are to train in righteousness. This is one more tool to train in righteousness. And of course, what Rick talked about, one more tool. the one-to-one book. If you haven't picked that up, grab that. Read that this week. I read that in an hour, in one setting. And it's just a great way to tackle the Word of God. Great strategies as to when you read the Word of God, what am I looking for? How is God speaking to me? So I encourage you to do that. It's up to you. It's up to you. There's one more thing I want to touch on when we pray in the Spirit. And I hope you're encouraged by this. Have you found yourself in a place before when you're praying that you're so tired and weary that you don't know what to pray? Yes, we all have. Can you relate the times in battle where you just, all you can do is bring a brother or sister's name or a loved one's name to the throne of grace? That's all you can do. That's all you've got in you. The scripture speaks to God's goodness in that struggle. Listen to this. Okay? Paul writes in the book of Romans that in my moment of weakness, when I'm tired, when maybe I'm sitting in church, or maybe it's during the week, and I'm just tired, and my circumstances have overwhelmed me, and I don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit prays on my behalf. Listen to what it says. Romans 8, 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance to the will of your God, of God. Be encouraged by that promise, Foundation Life. That when you don't know what to pray, the Spirit prays. And look what it does. It lines up your prayer with the will of God. Is that not encouraging? That's how good our God is. Second point of emphasis. Pray because you are aware of your enemy. Remember this truth from our close look the last 2 months at God's armor. The spiritual has an effect on the physical. Let me say that again. The spiritual has an effect on the physical. Let me remind you of scripture. We've read many times in this chapter, but I want to read again. Verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Although most are unaware and deceived by the kingdom of darkness, the truth is many in the body of Christ, so true, turn a blind eye to this truth. The battle that is being fought in the heavenly realms all around us has a lasting impact on the earthly realm. God's invited us to be a part of that. I've said this to you several times, but let me say it once more. Do not believe the lie. And it is a lie. Do not believe it, that you can change what happens here on earth in your flesh. It's a lie from the pit of hell. The battle with sin will not be won in the flesh and will not be won in the natural mind. It will not. Darkness wants us to turn to man, wants us to turn to the world system. The physical is only changed through the spiritual. Psalm 18:3 says this, I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. Ephesians 2:2, if we go back to chapter 2, reminds us, those who have rejected Christ live according to the desires of the flesh. They follow the world system. And watch this, because this is important. They follow Satan. This is why we know our battle is not against mankind. We must see the world through the eyes of the eternal. Be sober-minded. We must know that our enemy is constantly pouncing on his prey, looking to steal, looking to kill, and looking to destroy. And how does darkness attack us? Through lies. He uses lies to steal our joy, to keep us from our true purpose. Remember what that purpose is? Last week, Chris touched on it in Romans 12. Worship. Offer your body as a living sacrifice. And why does he do this? Because he wants to shipwreck your faith, as Paul writes. But be encouraged again, because God answers the prayers of his people. Prayer is powerful. When we pray beyond the physical, when we go beyond the temporary, when we pray the eternal with the kingdom of God in mind, praying for the lost around me, that just as John writes, that the Spirit of God would convict the lost around me of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Praying for my brothers and sisters, that they would know Jesus, and that they would love Jesus more and more. And today, right now, that the Word of God would cut through us, open us up, lay us bare before a holy God. God disciplines those that he loves. So shoot back up to verse 19 through 20. Hopefully you marked it. Look how Paul asked the churches to pray for him. We touched on this a while back, months ago. But look what he says. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Paul asked the churches to pray for him with the kingdom in mind for him, that he'd remember that his suffering and that his chains that he's bound in are for the furtherance of the gospel. He says that in Philippians chapter 1 as well. I believe if we could have talked to Paul, this is what he would have said. Pray that I see my circumstances and the eternal, and pray that I'll be bold. Pray that Satan's attacks on my physical body would not keep me from glorifying my beautiful Lord. Remember Paul's perspective that he writes in chapter 3, verse 1? He says, I'm not a prisoner of man. I'm not a prisoner of the devil. But look what he says, chapter 3, verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, watch this, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Wow, glory to Jesus for the grace that he gave Paul. Paul is asking them to pray what he's written to them in his many letters, what he's written to the churches. Pray that I would be true to my calling. Pray that I would glorify my Lord in these horrible circumstances. And our last point today, pray continually for your brothers and sisters. Part of God's plan is that we as saints pray. It's his program to move through the lives of his people through the vehicle of prayer. Didn't have to do it this way. This is how he does it. And keep in mind, we in the church body are not fighting our battles alone. We're in this warfare together. One body, Paul writes. Many, Paul writes. apart. What a gift it is to know you have someone praying for you. If you know without a doubt that there are members in the body of Christ that pray for you on a regular basis, that fervently pray for you, you should be extremely grateful for that. Because there's nothing like having prayer warriors in your corner. We're blessed to have others pray for us. And when we say we're going to pray for someone, I would encourage you to do this. Don't take it lightly. And if you know you're going to forget and you're a space cadet like me, stop and pray for that individual right there. Good brother in the Lord has stressed that to me, and he's exactly right. Do you know the spiritual needs of those you walk closely with? If I am regularly communicating with God, then he puts on my heart who to pray for and how to pray for them. All of us should be praying for those around us. People should know that if they're with us, we're praying for them. That's what we should strive for. If I have my eyes on Jesus and not the things of this world, then I see those around me through the eyes of the eternal, with the eternal in mind. Chapter 1:15, all the way back to chapter 1, verse 15 says this. Remember, the love for God and love for his people go hand in hand. We can't have one without the other. I'd love to go through verses 21 through 24 in depth, okay? But I'm not going to. But I want to point out one thing to you, all right? Let's read 21 and 22. Real quick here, it says, Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. Verse 22, I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. So Tychicus, and we see him in five other places in the Bible, was an encouragement and support to Paul while he was in prison. The Lord had him there to encourage Paul. So let's stop with a little commercial here. Don't forget the importance that you and I play in each other's life. We are meant to pray for one another. We are meant to encourage one another. We are meant to speak the truth to one another, to serve one another. We are gifted to edify the body of Christ. So our three points of emphasis, what are they? Pray in the Spirit or in God's will tirelessly. Pray because you're aware of your enemy. And pray continually for your brothers and sisters. I want to close today by again allowing the Word of God to read us. So let's go back to our verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. What? It's God's desire we acknowledge him in all things. And is it not true that this does not come naturally? We have to train in praying in the Spirit. We have to practice in praying in the Spirit. And let's use one example from last week, but know this. The Lord wants you in every circumstance to stay in contact, to communicate with your commanding officer to stay close to Jesus. But let's use one example from last week. Thanksgiving. Who went to a Thanksgiving gathering? Yeah, most of us. Okay. We had a choice on Thanksgiving. This is the choice. And I'll share with you in a moment the choice that I made. But we could walk in with our family. Maybe the cousin we don't like over here, right? Or maybe we get along with our family. I don't know. I bet we're all over the board in here. Okay? But we had a choice. We could choose to come in with an eternal mind, or we could choose to come in with the temporal in mind. Is that not true? It's absolutely true. Okay. So here's how my Thanksgiving went, okay? We were not looking forward to where we were going during the day. Just being very honest with you, okay? Love my family, but my family was there, and then there was another family that was there, okay? And so we got to think, before we went, Mel and I prayed, and we were like, okay, Lord, help us see things through your eyes, okay? Great prayer. I walk in, okay, like an hour and a half later, and here's my thoughts. All right. Definitely have to make sure that I get pumpkin pie. Definitely have to make sure that I get stuffing. Have to make sure, okay, today I'm just going to go to town on eating, right? Okay. So I walk in. I'm thinking about food. Here's my next thought. If it gets awkward, I can always watch football. If it gets awkward, I can always watch football. Okay, so that's what I'm thinking. But the Lord, in His mercy, did this. I was talking to several people, and one brother in particular named Richie, not part of our family, but knows our family, came up to me and started asking me about the church. And then he started sharing with me about a ministry that God had him in. So God, in His mercy, switched my mindset. He was like, you forgot. You're here for the eternal. You're not here for the temporal. You're here to think about my kingdom. You're my ambassador. So this brother that God used spoke about a ministry that he had. Asked me about our ministry. We encouraged one another. We're gonna keep communicating with one another. But God did that. But for the first half hour, I missed what God had for me because I was focused on who? Me. I was self-absorbed. And see, that's what God wants us to realize is. He wants us to pray in the Spirit at all times. Staying in contact with our commanding officer. Continually communicating with Jesus. We're called sheep for a reason. We need the shepherd. We need Him bad, okay? We're meant to depend upon Him. So we've got to understand that. All right. So I could have wasted the rest of the day, but the Lord in His mercy changed my mind. Now think about your Thanksgiving. Where were you? Were you self-absorbed? Or did you have the kingdom in mind? Jesus desires for us as His children to be in constant communication with Him. And brothers and sisters, I can't say this enough. That takes practice. That takes training. That is over and over again renewing my mind through the Word of God. But it's His will that at work, in the car, at home, at family gatherings, at school functions, wherever we find ourselves, He says, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit at all times. Otherwise, we waste the opportunities the Lord has given us. Remember, the Word is meant to divide the soul from spirit. It's meant to bring conviction. It's meant to reveal our hearts. And praise God for that. So let's pray this week. And ask God to help us stay connected to our commanding officer. And just as 2 Timothy says, and not get caught up in civilian affairs. But be encouraged when you do. Because at that moment, you can stop and you can say, Lord, I'm not thinking about the kingdom. I'm missing it. I'm going to go back to training in righteousness. I'm going to stay connected to you. Practice staying connected to Jesus this week. Right now. So that he might be worshiped. And that you might be satisfied in him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, this does not come naturally to us. Many times our prayers, God, are rote. They're routine. Maybe it's when we go to bed, Lord. Maybe it's at a meal, God. But I pray that by the power of your Spirit, God, that you this week would begin to remind us, would bring to our attention, God, when we're self-absorbed. And Jesus, thank you for the cross. Because of the cross, when we find ourselves in that place, God, we can turn back towards you. So we ask you, Spirit of the living God, we ask you, will you remind us this week? Will you help us grow in praying in the Spirit and making our requests to you, Lord, and worshiping you and praising you, God, and staying connected with you? Will you help us with that, God? We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you've given us, God. We don't want to waste it. Help us not waste it, God. Whatever the circumstance. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for this book, God. We pray that these words have fallen into our heart, God, and that we live them out through the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from Foundation Life Bible Church, located in Greenwood, Indiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information about Foundation Life Bible Church, please visit us online at www.foundationlbc.com.